Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, September 30th, 2015, episode 11.11, the Week 4 Preview Show. After an interesting Week 3 in the NFL, there are down to seven. That's right, seven teams remain undefeated, and people are already talking about the defending Super Bowl champion, Evil Empire, New England Patriots, going undefeated all year. But before we find out about that, the Patriots go on a bye. That's right. Bye weeks are here just like that before you even expect it. Boom! It's week four, and two teams are on a bye as the New England Patriots and Tennessee Titans get to chill this week. I don't know why they get to chill this week. It's not like we've been playing for like a long time. We just got started. Now they get to sit for a couple days, and due to some weather concerns, it may be possible that the Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Redskins also get a bye this week. We'll talk about what's going on with that game. Plus, I'll talk about the briefly recap the 16 games in week three. What a week! I went 14-2, very impressive, won the challenge game, making me...
I am the smartest man alive!
Thank you, David Bryson, for going up against me, and thank you for not making the Cowboys-Falcons the challenge game. It just allowed me to be the smartest man alive. We'll get to that, and I'll talk to you about some of the injuries that are still plaguing teams all over the NFL, including the Pittsburgh Steelers, which have a game tomorrow night on Thursday Night Football, hosting the Baltimore Ravens. Big Ben Roethlisberger scheduled to be out for at least 4 weeks. A couple other quarterbacks that are suffering from shoulder injuries. I'll talk to you about that. And Victor Cruz returns to practice, but he hurts himself again. All this coming up. Let's get it going. Chomp it in. That's the wrong button. See what happens, people?
Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves.
All right, welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves, wherever in this great big world that you are listening to, you are listening from. Thank you for continuing to listen, whether you're listening to the podcast via downloaded or you're streaming it from the website. Thank you for coming back. What a week it was last week, 14-2 for yours truly. It was a very good week. I only missed two games, and I think I kind of let the NFC East cloud me a little bit. I missed the Jets. They lost to the Philadelphia Eagles. I really thought that they'd beat Philadelphia, but little Darren Sproles was apparently too much for the Jets to handle. And I lost the Dallas Cowboys. I thought that they, even with the injuries to Tony Romo and Dez Bryant, they would take care of business at home. They would run the ball very well. And they did all of that in the first half. Apparently, they decided to not play in the second half, didn't score any points in the second half. The defense fell asleep in the second half and let Julio Jones, who only caught three passes in the first half, run amok and run all over them in the second half. And so I lost that game as well. But that's it. I got all the other games right, including the challenge game. David Bryson, for whatever reason, did not want to make the Cowboys-Falcons the challenge game. He decided to take the Cleveland Browns beating the Oakland Raiders at home, and that just didn't happen, folks. The Oakland Raiders showed up. I'm telling you, I may have to give Oakland Raider fans an apology. I didn't think that football team was going to win more than five games all year, but here they are already at the end of the month of September with two wins. They are 2-1 and wins over the Browns on the road and the Baltimore Ravens. That was pretty impressive. Their only game, their loss, was week one to the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Bengals are a very impressive 3-0 right now. They're sitting atop their division looking pretty. That's what they're looking. They're looking pretty, mind you. Andy Dalton's red hot right now, which people are saying, yeah, but until he does it in the playoffs, it's not really good now, is it? Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Boom! But the Cincinnati Bengals are doing pretty well. They actually got a big win over the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. And that game was pretty crazy. The Cincinnati Bengals dominated for the majority of the game, but they let the Ravens hang around. Then they sack on Andy Dalton. He fumbles. They pick up the football and return it for a touchdown. It was 14-0. This is 14-0. Then it was 14-7, 14-10 in the fourth quarter. Early in the fourth quarter, 14-10 is the score. Cincinnati's taking care of business. Looks like they're driving again. Dalton fumbles. Ravens scoop it up, take it in for a touchdown. Now they're winning 17-14, a game where they were not in it at all. All of a sudden, they're winning 17-14. Bing! Light, like a ray of lightning kind of just hit the Cincinnati Bengals. Andy Dalton to A.J. Green. Boom, touchdown. Now they're up 21-17. Things are looking pretty good. But old man Steve Smith Sr. continues to ball out. Scored a second touchdown of the game. Gave the Ravens back the lead 24-21. But you know what? Andy Dalton to A.J. Green. Again, for the go-ahead touchdown, 28-24. The Ravens could not come back after that, and the Bengals improved to 3-0 while dropping division rival Baltimore to 0-3 and pretty much effectively sealing the deal on the Ravens. It's going to be hard for Baltimore to crawl out of an 0-3 hole when they've already lost to Cincinnati once. People are saying not to count them out, but it's 0-3. And I think four teams since the league went to its current playoff format, four times since the league went to its current playoff format, four teams have made the playoffs after starting 0-3. Not likely the Ravens are going to do it. The San Diego Chargers were once, they actually started 0-4, and they went all the way to the AFC Championship game. Not bad. But I don't think the Ravens, this is not the team. The defense just gives up too many big plays. And they're just getting chewed up via the air. The Raiders passed at will against them. Now Cincinnati passed at will against them. And Harbaugh's kind of scratching his head, doesn't know really what to do. I think he even joked saying that at some point they're going to have to figure out a way to cover A.J. Green because he always destroys them. And that was the case. The New England Patriots, fresh off their shellacking of the Jacksonville Jaguars, 51-17. They just left no doubt. They just put it on them. People were saying, 14-point spread, it's too big. I'm like, no, it isn't. There were so many people who were looking at me that I was crazy when I said I was going to put the Patriots minus 14 on my parlay card. And they were like, really? That's a lot of points, dog. And I'm like, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Patriots are at home. They're going to do that whole philosophy from like 2007 where we don't care if we put up 60, 70 points on you. We're going to keep playing everybody, and Tom Brady's going to stay out there in the fourth quarter. We don't care if everybody's up in the booth saying, well, I don't know what Tom Brady's doing out there in the fourth quarter. This game is pretty much in the books, but Bill Belichick doesn't really care, and Brady's just going to keep playing. That's exactly what the Patriots are doing, making everybody and their dogs question them, and they're just going to go for the jugular. And you know what? I'm on board now. I'm on board. Go for the jugular, New England. I'm on board. If teams are not going to stop you, stick it to them. And if they start to cry, stick it to them a little bit more. 51-17 pounding of the Jags. And it just looks like New England doesn't really care. They're going to run up the score on people. And you know what? People better man up and start playing. And yes, I will be okay when they run up the score on Dallas next week. But right now, the Carolina Panthers and Cam Newton sitting at 3-0, taking care of the New Orleans Saints. The Saints just look bad, 27-22 in that one. The Eagles, as I said earlier, got their first win, beating the Jets 24-17. Jets, who in their first two games were plus 10 in the turnover ratio, they were minus 3 in this game, and that's what it is. Too many turnovers and then giving up big plays on special teams. Not a recipe for success. So the Jets get their first loss of the season. The Houston Texans also get their first win of the season, beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 19-9. That was probably the ugliest game of the weekend. Okay, never mind. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the St. Louis Rams, 12-6 Steelers over St. Louis. That was the ugliest game of the weekend. That was the game where Ben Roethlisberger got knocked out, and in comes Michael Vick, people. Michael freaking Vick. Didn't do much. He did lead the Steelers to a field goal in the fourth quarter, which kind of solidified the victory there for Pittsburgh. But 12-6, let's see how Vick does this week on Thursday on short week against the Baltimore Ravens. The Arizona Cardinals, they're a team that is jumping on the New England Patriot bandwagon and saying, we're going to just knock people out too. 47-7 beatdown of the San Francisco 49ers. When's the last time the Niners got beat down like that? I don't know, but the Arizona Cardinals said they were winning 31-7 at half, and they just did not let up. There's actually, if you have not heard it, a saying that or a hearing that Bruce Arians in the locker room at halftime told his team to continue to play with passion and play hard. And if they were not going to do that, he would find somebody who would do that. He said, step on their throat. And that's exactly what I'm saying. Go for the juggler. Arizona's doing it. 47-7 beatdown there of the 49ers. 49ers look bad. Kaepernick look even worse. Lots of football to do that. I mean, the interceptions that he threw, they were just bad. I mean, how bad were they?
It was bad. It had nothing, no fire, no energy, no nothing.
That's what it had, no nothing. No way that Kaepernick can have another game like that, because if he does, people are going to say, yo, Tom Sula, we got to do something about this, man. That is not good. That is not the football that we want here in San Francisco. And he will have to do something if Kaepernick plays as bad in reading the coverages. The word escapes me right now. He just looked so bad that I don't know why the San Francisco 49ers didn't try something else. Clearly, that whole run, read, pass option isn't working for the San Francisco 49ers as it once did. Colin Kaepernick running the football doesn't seem to scare anybody anymore. And they're saying, you know what? We're not going to let you run. We're going to make you pass. And he can't do it right now. He's got to figure out a way to get focused and start focusing on being able to become a pocket passer to make plays down the field. Crabtree is gone now. So he was a big one saying, you know, Kaepernick can't get me the football. I'm going to go somewhere who can get me the football. And Crabtree's playing pretty good football in Oakland right now with Derek Carr throwing him the football. So I feel for Kaepernick. I like the kid, but he has really, really got to do a better job of protecting the football. Okay, let's move on. The final games there, 26-0 shutout of the Chicago Bears. Seattle gets their first victory of the season. The Buffalo Bills pour it on the Miami Dolphins, 41-14. That was not close at all. Denver on Sunday Night Football takes care of the Lions, 24-12. The Lions just, it's not that they're a bad team. They're just not. They just don't have that one intangible element on either side of the football. People don't seem to fear Calvin Johnson anymore. The Denver Broncos basically paid Calvin Johnson man-on-man, one-on-one, pretty much all night. They put Aqib Talib, their best corner, on him, and they said, here, you think you can beat us with just one-on-one? Here it is. And, you know, the Lions went to it fairly often. And they found some success, but in the red zone, he was not available. He did not find success when they got into the red zone, and he had 8 catches, but only for 77 yards. Basically, Talib was on him. He caught the football. Boom, he got tackled. So teams aren't afraid of that anymore. They're like saying, sure, he's Megatron, and he's going to get his catches, and that's all right by us. Just so long as he doesn't beat us deep and make that big home run play. And Calvin hasn't been able to do that. So a lot of teams aren't afraid of that. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I don't know if it was the release of Ndamukong Suh with him going via free agency to Miami. There's just no one to be afraid of anymore. And for as poor as Peyton Manning has been in the pocket, there was hardly any pass rush on Peyton Manning. He only got touched a couple times. That's not good. So I don't know what's going on with the Lions. They're 0-3, and you have to start wondering when they're going to win again. Probably when they play the Chicago Bears, because the Chicago Bears are pretty bad right now. But there's not going to be a lot of wins for the Lions if they keep playing the way they did on Sunday night. Finally, Monday Night Football, the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, 5 touchdown passes. That's right, you heard me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 touchdown passes, 38-28 beatdown of the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs got to find a way to throw the football down the field. I'm sorry. I like Alex Smith, and I've been a big Alex Smith proponent and saying, hey, man, he's a good quarterback. He does his job. He takes care of business. But if you can't throw the football down the field and scare defenses, I'm sorry, no matter how good Jamaal Charles is, he's not going to be able to break away and break out. The Green Bay Packers pretty much bottle him up for the most part. You got to be able to scare somebody. You got to be able to say, we've got a quarterback who isn't afraid to throw the football down the field, and right now Alex Smith looks like he is afraid to throw the football down the field. He's hesitant with his reads. Even when he sees it, he kind of hesitates with throwing the football. Alex Smith has got to pull the trigger. Late in that football game, when he started pulling the trigger, he started finding Jeremy Maclin. They finally scored a touchdown with a wide receiver. Whew, they could finally stop saying that over and over again. Jeremy Maclin scored a touchdown. That's what he needs to do. He needs to just start being confident with his receivers, start throwing the football down the field, and maybe the Chiefs can turn it around. They sit at 1-2 while the Packers improve to 3-0. Final game that I'll talk about that I thought should have been the challenge game, the Cowboys and the Atlanta Falcons. The final was 39-28. The final score is not indicative of how close this game was. This game was actually pretty close. Unfortunately for the Cowboys, they took a big 28-14 lead. Things were pretty good. Brandon Weeney kind of made a mistake there near the end of the half. The Falcons were able to get a field goal to make it 28-17 going into halftime. But still, 28-17 going into the half, you think the Cowboys got to feel pretty good about how they've been running the ball. They came out in the second half and they were flat. They made no adjustments. The Falcons adjusted. They started run blitzing. They kind of started stopping the run, and the Cowboys had nothing to combat that. And I think the Falcons kind of gave the rest of the league a blueprint on stopping Dallas. They're like, hey, the Cowboys can run the football. Yeah, they're really good, but run blitz them. They won't run blitz them, stop their runs, force Brandon Weeden to beat you, and he's not going to be able to beat you, and that's how you're going to win football games. Because the Cowboys went from an offense that looked fantastic in the first half, running pretty much at will, Brandon Weeden completing those short passes. He wasn't horrible, but the Atlanta Falcons came out in the second half. They adjusted their defenses with run blitzes. They stopped the running game for the Dallas Cowboys, forced them to pass. They did not find any success with that. Weeden looked a little lost there in the second half, and therefore they didn't score any points. On the flip side, Atlanta, the way they used Julio Jones, who, by the way, only had 3 catches in the first half, then it's like, I don't know, the Cowboys' defense stopped playing. He had 9 catches in the second half and 2 touchdowns, and the Atlanta Falcons scored 22 points in the second half to the Cowboys nothing, and that's what it was. Pretty interesting how the Cowboys handle the New Orleans Saints this week. If they play as poor a second half of game of football as they did in the second half against the Atlanta Falcons, they're not going to win very many football games without Tony Romo at the helm. Thursday night football last week, the Giants got their first win of the season, beating the Washington Redskins 32-21. It was pretty crazy because the Giants had a double-digit lead going into the fourth quarter again, and it looked for a second like they were going to lose that lead. The Redskins kept coming at them. The Redskins actually scored 15 points in that fourth quarter, but it wasn't enough because the Giants actually were able to score points themselves, and they got the win 32-21. Maybe they found a way to start closing games there in the fourth quarter, but we'll talk about the Giants here because Victor Cruz is injured again, and I'll tell you how that happened. But first, I want to talk to you about some NFL news. All right, the Chicago Bears basically decided that everything must go. fire sale, and they're having a fire sale. They're trading people left and right. Jared Allen traded away to the Carolina Panthers. They traded away a linebacker, I believe, to the New England Patriots. And people in Dallas are asking Jerry Jones to go trade for Matt Forte. And I was like, excuse me, you want them to do what? They said, trade for Matt Forte.
What?
Yeah, hey, slow down, slow down. Let's not trade for Matt Forte. We're trading for anybody in the NFC North. Trade for Adrian Peterson. Give the Vikings whatever they want and trade for Adrian Peterson. Don't trade for Matt Forte. Why would you trade for Matt Forte now? No, don't do it. Don't do it. Cowboy fans in Dallas, relax. Just play it out. Don't. I know the Bears are trying to give people away left and right, but that's not what the Dallas Cowboys need. So chill out. Bring it down. Bring it down. Okay, final last week, I went 14-2. The fans, David Bryson, they went 14-2. They went 13-3. David's had a great record. It was 13-3. What killed him were obviously the Browns. Don't ever. I'm just going to give you a piece of advice here, fans. If you're putting your picks up against mine, okay, don't rely on the Cleveland Browns to win you a challenge game. Just don't do it. It's not going to happen. I'm just giving you a freebie right there. Don't make the Cleveland Browns a challenge game ever. Just don't do it. It will hurt you. The Raiders got that one. He also, like me, missed the Jets. We both had the Jets there. But I had the Dallas Cowboys. He had the Falcons, so he got that one right. But then there was another game that we differed on, and that was the Buffalo-Miami game. And clearly the Dolphins are not ready to take a step forward. Buffalo crushed them in that one. So we differed on three games, and I got two of them correct. So that's why I was one up on David. David, thanks a lot for coming on. Maybe we'll have you on later on in the season around weeks 14 or 15 when things get very serious in the Pick'em Challenge. All right, so I've taken a 2-1 lead in the challenge game. The fans have the right to choose the challenge game this week, and it literally is going to be the fans, because here's the deal. We selected Sugar Lips Jones, just because we like the name. Sugar Lips Jones from the Pick'em Pool on NFLRNR.com to put his picks up against mine, and we differ from four games. I shot him an email. I still have yet to hear back from Sugar Lips, whose first name is Andrew, by the way. So I haven't heard back from Andrew Jones yet. I was expecting to hear back from him, but still have not heard back from him. So I'm going to still put up his picks against mine. There's not going to be any commentary, unfortunately, about why he made the picks that he made. But we differ on four games. At the end of the podcast, I will tell you, the fans, which are those four games that we differ on. And then by vote, I will let you all decide what the challenge game should be, because the fans should pick the challenge game. And I'll give you a chance to do that. So, with that being said, we are going to move on to the picks, but still some NFL news that I wanted to talk to you about. Victor Cruz of the New York Giants was supposed to be ready. He was really adamant about coming back out and be ready to play football this week for the New York Giants, but he went out to practice. And he participated on a limited basis. However, Cruz tweaked his calf and shut it down. He went out to try and do individual drills, and the calf kind of tweaked up again. It did what it did. And although Cruz said after practice that he's convinced he's going to play Sunday against the Buffalo Bills, because of this setback, we're not pretty sure that he's going to make it out there. Another interesting name that landed up in the injury list, shall I say, quarterback Andrew Luck of the Indianapolis Colts. He was limited in practice today. He fully expects to play Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars, but Pagano acknowledged that Luck has been dealing with a right shoulder injury. Possibly that's why he's not been as sharp as everyone expected him to be this season, But all signs point to Luck playing this weekend against Jacksonville. Barring him dying, I don't think that he's going to miss the game. I'm pretty sure he'll be out there. But just make sure that you know, especially for those folks out in fantasy land, that he is tweaked a little bit there with his shoulder. Arian Foster, who has yet to play for the Houston Texans, he's been out the first 3 weeks of the season, was out at practice again for the Houston Texans today, and it looks like he might be ready to step onto the field. However, Coach Bill O'Brien said that Foster will be a game-time decision against the Atlanta Falcons, so you won't know until 90 minutes before whether he's activated or not for that football game. I think Coach O'Brien's pulling a page from Bill Belichick there and not wanting to give his opponent information. I'm pretty certain that Arian Foster is going to be out there. He's looking good, and I would expect him to play. But right now they're saying he is a game-time decision. Speaking of the New England Patriots, they have made a trade with the New Orleans Saints. The Saints acquired tight end Michael Humanawanui. Okay, let me see that right. Humanawanui. There you go. So Humanawanui goes to New Orleans, and the Saints send defensive end Akeem Hicks to the New England Patriots. So this is a situation where the Saints obviously got rid of Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham's in Seattle now, and clearly, offensively, the Saints are but a shell of what they used to be. Drew Brees really doesn't have a favorite weapon to throw the football to. And they said, well, where can we get some help? Humanawanui is available, and the Patriots make the trade. So they get a defensive end for him, and now hopefully the Saints have a tight end that they could use to be their guy. We'll see how that works out for them. Other news, based on the Week 3 game at Carolina, Cam Newton said that the referee in the game at Hockey League, when Cam asked about how come there was not a roughing the passer penalty called, he said that Hockey League told him he wasn't old enough to get that call. When Dean Blandino of the NFL officials talked to Hockley said, I told him it was because he was running that he didn't get the call. When you look at the video, now I'm not like a lip-reading expert, but I do know how to read lips. I think everybody does, really. You could see Hockley saying it was because you were running. So I don't know why Cam would make up a story like that. And I want to believe Cam, but the video shows the ref saying what he said he said. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. I didn't see the hit, to be honest. So I don't know if Cam has legitimate beef with the ref, but I don't think that the ref would tell a player, you're not old enough to get a call like that. I think the refs are out there to protect the players, and at least I want to believe that the refs are out there to protect the players, and if they see a call, they're going to call it. Obviously, Hockley didn't feel that call was worthy of roughing the passer, so because he was a running quarterback at that point. He was out of the pocket. He was out running for his life, and so you're not going to get that call. You're going to get hit. I'm sorry, Cam, if you're out there running like you're doing, by the way, and I've been saying to the Carolina Panthers, you got to stop him from doing that because he's going to get killed. You're going to get hit, and that comes with the territory of being a running quarterback. So I hope Cam knows that, and I really do honestly hope that Cam isn't making this up, because that would kind of be bad. From what I've seen of the video and what I could tell from what the ref is saying, he is saying you were running. And he's the video at least seems to back up what Ed Hockley is saying, what he said. So there you go. That's a lot of NFL news there. Anything else? For the Chicago Bears, a little bit of good news. Alshon Jeffrey and quarterback Jay Cutler returned to practice, albeit in a limited fashion. not sure Cutler's going to be out there this weekend. Jeffrey might make an appearance this week, but I'm not sure if Cutler is going to be able to play in the game. It may be Jimmy Clausen time again. And with that, let's get to week four of the NFL. So, my friends, this week I have decided that it is time to break up the games. So before we get started, there are bye weeks now. Bye weeks will be with us until week 12, I believe. I'll check on that to find out when is the final bye week, but I believe it's week 12. And this week, as I said earlier in the show, bye weeks start with the New England Patriots and the Tennessee Titans. So that's it. There's only going to be 15 games on the docket. And I was correct there. Week 11 is the final week of byes. Week 12, we're back to 16 games. So from now until week 12, there will be teams that are off. Now, we'll start with a game that's not up there as far as a game. It's a game of interest. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Redskins. Both of those teams have a bye week 8. They're scheduled to play today, but there is a hurricane that's apparently headed towards the East Coast. Hurricane Joaquin. And if Joaquin hits the East Coast, that game between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Redskins, we'll know on Saturday if it gets postponed. If it gets postponed, the Redskins and the Eagles will have a bye this week as well. And then those two teams will play their game during their regularly scheduled bye, which would be week 8. So that I think that's what the league said will be the easiest for everyone involved. That way the game can still be played in Washington. It'll just be played at a later date. So keep your eyes posted. On Saturday, you might hear the hurricane has hit land and the Washington Redskins and Philadelphia Eagles will no longer play their game. That's a possibility. But as of right now, Patriots, Titans, they're the only two teams that are off. So that brings us to El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana. The Kansas City Chiefs head to Cincinnati to face the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals are 4-point favorites, and the over-under in this game is 44. Kansas City's coming off a demoralizing loss on Monday Night Football to the Green Bay Packers. It's a short week. The Cincinnati Bengals are riding a high. They're at a perfect 3-0. They're at home. And they're feeling good. I've got the Cincinnati Bengals. Sugar Lips has the Cincinnati Bengals. Look, as I said earlier, I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs on offense are very good. They have a very good defensive football team. And that's if you can apply pressure with a solid running game and a very good passing game. If you do that like the Green Bay Packers did to them, it's going to be really tough. And right now the Cincinnati Bengals are pretty balanced. They have a really good running game with Jeremy Hill, sprinkled in there with Giovanni Bernard. And Andy Dalton is throwing the ball just about as well as anybody right now. Cincinnati at home, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm putting this one on my parlay card. I think the Bengals win by more than 4. I think they win with about a touchdown. Cincinnati at home, I'll take Dalton and the Bengals. I wish I could tell you what Andrew has to say about this game, but as I said, we missed the communication train there. So I like the Bengals. I like the passing game of Cincinnati. I don't think Kansas City is going to be able to attack that defense. And the Cincinnati defense, by the way, has been playing some really solid football. They've stepped up and made plays when they needed to make plays. I'm actually just shocked, really, at how the Cincinnati Bengals were able to take some players that other teams cast off and have them play well for them. The Bengals, by the way, are ranked 2nd offensively. They've got the number 2 offense in the league, and their defense ain't that shabby either. They're ranked 12th. So offensively, Kansas City is ranked 22nd. Their defense is ranked 24th. They don't pass the football very well. They're at the 25th ranked passing offense in the league, and that's just not going to get it done. Alex Smith and Andy Reid have to find a way for him to throw the football down the field. Maybe they'll start winning football games. They're not going to win this one. Let's move to a slate of games of the week. All right, games of the week will start on Thursday Night Football where the Pittsburgh Steelers host the Baltimore Ravens. You're like, Steven, how can an 0-3 team be featured as game of the week? I just talked about the Baltimore Ravens, and I was telling you earlier, don't sleep on the Baltimore Ravens. Don't count them out just yet. Here they are, division rival Pittsburgh. It's a short week, but the Steelers are without their signal caller, Ben Roethlisberger. Michael Vick gets his first start in a few years. He's going to be a little rusty. And folks, this isn't the same Michael Vick that we remember from Atlanta, even that we remember from a few years ago when he came back and played with the Jets. This is a different Michael Vick. This isn't even the Michael Vick that played with the Philadelphia Eagles when he came back and he replaced Foles when Foles got injured. Different Vick, different player. He's a little bit older. He really doesn't want to run the football. And as much as I like Michael Vick as a football player, Michael Vick was never very accurate throwing the football. I remember a time where I said Michael Vick couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat throwing a football. That's how bad Michael Vick is as far as accuracy is concerned. Baltimore is going to come in. They got their backs against the wall. This is for as early a game as it is. It's only week four. But this is a must-win football game for the Baltimore Ravens. Must win. It's no joke. They got to win it. They got to have it. And they know they got to have it. Unfortunately for them, this is a team that knows them very well. It's going to be low scoring. The over-under in this game is 45.5. I say take the under. I don't see more than 24 points being scored in this football game. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers to take care of business at home, even with the short week. And I'll tell you why. Even though I just said that Michael Vick isn't very accurate and he's not the same quarterback as he was, the thing about Michael Vick is that he is still elusive and it still evokes memories in defensive coordinators and defenses. The Baltimore Ravens are going to be trying to game plan for a guy that they're not quite sure who he is, how he is. And that's just going to cause them some grief. I think Pittsburgh will lean on Le'Veon Bell, that he's back now. And they're just going to run the football with Le'Veon. And it's going to be too much. I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers. Sugar Lips Jones has the Pittsburgh Steelers as well. So we'll lock that one in with the Steelers over the Ravens. Moving on to another game of the week, the New York Jets versus Miami. This is our London game. That's right. Early game if you're on the West Coast, such as me. This game will kick off at 6:30 in the morning. If you're in New York or the East Coast, the game kicks off at 9:30 in the morning. Early game for all of my friends over across the pond in London. I know a whole bunch of folks that will be there. This is very sad for me. I wish I could be there as well. Sad that I'm going to miss this game. But turns out Sky is not even covering the game. The BBC is. So there's not going to be a lot of Sky people there to begin with because, like I said, BBC is covering the game. So New York Jets versus Miami. It's a home game for the Dolphins. The Dolphins are favored by 1.5 points. I really am struggling with this game. I would like to think that the Jets are going to correct their mistakes and fix their problems that they had last week against Philadelphia and be able to take care of business and beat Miami. However, Miami's been overseas before. They've been there. They've done it. They've seen it. They've experienced it. As a matter of fact, they're already there right now. Doing everything that they need to do to prepare to get ready for this football game. This is going to be new for the Jets. They're going to be going overseas. It's going to be a kind of a new experience. And I think the Jets kind of showed some chinks in the armor last week against Philadelphia. You put pressure against Fitzgerald, he's going to turn over the rock. He's just going to do it. And I think the Miami Dolphins find themselves like the Baltimore Ravens with their backs against the wall. This is go time. If we're going to get serious about this season, we have got to come and we have got to bring it right now. There is no way that we can start this season at 1-3. We can't start the season 1-3. Not in our division. If we fall and lose this game and we go to 1-3, that means the Jets improved to 3-1. The Patriots will remain undefeated at 3-1. Buffalo, as I'll tell you later, I'm picking, will beat the Giants. They'll be 3-1. There'll be a whole bunch of 3-1 teams in our division, an undefeated 3-0, and we're going to be sitting down here at 1-3. That is not going to be good for the Miami Dolphins. They know their backs are against the wall. Defensively, they've got to stiffen up. They're going to get after Fitzpatrick. They'll cause some turnovers. And this game being overseas is advantage Miami because they've been through this rigmarole. The Jets have not. I'm taking Miami. Now, here's where Sugar Lips comes in. Wait a minute, Steven. It's the New York Jets. They know they made a mistake last week. They know how to fix those mistakes and correct the mistakes and take care of the football. They're going to put the ones being putting the pressure on Fitzpatrick. The Dolphins have no kind of running game, and that really is true. There is absolutely no sense of a running game for the Miami Dolphins. They rank 27th, and I'll be like, that's all right. It's not going to be so much as running the game. It's throwing the football, and I think Tannehill will be able to find a little bit of success. Don't have to throw it that much. The Jets have a pretty good defense. It's their offense that worries me. They're ranked 21st or 22nd, I believe, in offense, and that's just not good. So I'll take Miami to get their second win of the season and the Jets to have back-to-back losses. So that is a potential game that could be a challenge game. I will let you fans know how to vote later on in the show. Moving on to another game of the week, the Houston Texans travel to Atlanta to face the Atlanta Falcons. Both Sugar Lips and myself have the Atlanta Falcons. Look, Houston got their first week of the win of the season last week. Very nice for Houston. Woo, I'd like to cheer for them, but the fact of the matter is they just don't look very good. The Houston Texans don't look very good. Even in a win, they don't look very good. And the Houston Texans are, they're a football team that's not bad. They're not bad by any stretch of the imagination. Believe me, please, when I say that they are not a bad football team. But on the flip side of that, they're not a really good football team. They're not great. They're middle of the road. I don't want to call them mediocre, but that, maybe that's the word I'm looking for. Look, they're right down the middle. They're ranked 14th in offense. They're ranked 13th in defense. They're right in the middle of the road. They're not good. They're not bad. They're just in the middle. And you're about to face an offense right now that's ranked third overall. Matt Ryan is throwing the football at will, really, with Julio Jones. They're ranked second passing. He's got Julio. He's got Roddy White. He's got Lancashire. Devontae Freeman coming out of the backfield. And Ryan is getting rid of the football quickly. It's tough to get at him. I know that J.J. Watt's there, and he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. But at the end of the day, the Houston Texans, they're averaging, I don't even know, I want to try and find out what they're averaging on offense points-wise. Let me get that for you while I'm looking that up. The thing is that, I don't know, they're near the bottom. Yeah, they're ranked 24th in points scored per game, the Houston Texans. 24th. You have to be able to score points in this league to win football games. I've been kind of harping on the Houston Texans, I think, for like 6 years now, saying that I don't care how great your defense is. At the end of the day, if you cannot put up points in the National Football League, you're not going to win a whole lot of football games. And that's just the reality of it. And, you know, if they're averaging 18 points, if you put up 18 points against the Atlanta Falcons, you're going to lose. Because the Atlanta Falcons are going to roll 28, 31 points on you. That's going to happen. Even with J.J. Watt and that defensive front that you have, the Falcons are going to roll 30 points on you. And if you can only muster 18 offensively, it's not going to be good enough. That's not going to be good enough to beat more than half the teams in this league. And that's where the Houston Texans are at. That's why I struggle to like the Houston Texans, because, as I said, they're not bad, but they're not great. They're not great at anything. That's what's the hard part is. They're just not great at anything. And they're going to need more than 18 points to beat Atlanta. I don't see it. I've got Atlanta, and so does Mr. Jones. We'll move on. Next game of the week, the New York Giants travel to Buffalo to face the Buffalo Bills. Now, here's another game that we differ on. Sugarlip Jones has the New York Giants. I know why he has the New York Giants. He and half the media out there are saying, oh, my God, the Giants got their first win of the season, and now they've turned it around, and now they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Hold on. It was the Washington Redskins, okay? And the week before that, when the Washington Redskins got their win over the Rams, everybody was saying that they were the greatest thing since sliced bread. So let's just chill out, relax. The Giants got their first win. They still struggled to get that win. Here come the Buffalo Bills, fresh off a shellacking. I'm talking about a shellacking of the Miami Dolphins on the road. Now they're at home. They had their first home opener against the Patriots. It didn't go as well as they wanted it to go, and they lost that football game. They're not losing another game at home to the New York Giants. Sugarlips has New York. I've got Buffalo. I think the Buffalo Bills' defense is still pretty solid. They're doing really good. They're going to get after Happy Feet. I'm telling you right now, they're going to get after Happy Feet. It's going to happen. And the thing that nobody seems to be talking about is the Buffalo Bills' offense. They got a top 10 offense, okay? Nobody expected that coming out of the Buffalo Bills to have a top 10. They're first in rushing, right? Their offense, first in rushing. It's pretty awesome. Even without LeSean McCoy, who Rex Ryan has said is probably not going to play in this game, I like the Buffalo Bills. The Giants have the third. That can't be right. Is that right? 31st ranked defense in the league? Whoo, Nelly. Man, the Giants just give up points, people. The Falcons came back on them. Cowboys came back on them. The Redskins tried to come back on them, and they could have if there were like 5 more minutes left in that game. I think the Bills will take care of business at home. They'll improve to 3-1 and drop the Giants to 1-3. So that could be a challenge game for you. And our final game of the week, the Minnesota Vikings travel to Denver to face the Denver Broncos. The Broncos are 6.5-point favorites at home. I don't like that line at all. I'm not even going to touch this game. Only because I feel that that's way too many points. Denver hasn't shown that they're that good. And the Minnesota Vikings are playing some solid football. Now, they're going on the road again. Their last road trip out west didn't fare too well. They looked horrible against San Francisco. And Denver does have a really, really good defense. That defense is for rears. I wanted to say for real and fierce at the same time, so they're for rears. All right? Is that a new NFL Rants and Ravesism? Write it down. That's a new NFL Rants and Raves truism. If your defense is fierce and they're for real, they're for rears. That's what they are. Mark it down, Denver Broncos, they're for rears. That defense is legit. And Minnesota, you got to give them some credit. They're playing good football. They finally give the ball to Adrian Peterson, who, you know, why wouldn't you give the ball to Adrian Peterson? Give it to him more, I would say. But they're not gonna go in and beat Denver. They'll keep it close. They'll make it interesting, but they won't beat the Denver Broncos. Broncos will remain undefeated, and Minnesota will fall to 2-2 on the season. That does it for games of the week so far. You have 3 games to choose from. I've got Miami. Sugarlips has the Jets. I've got the Bills. Sugarlips has the Giants. I've got Denver. Sugarlips has Minnesota. And the final game, we'll just do it now, is our next Games of Interest. The first game of interest, the Oakland Raiders travel to Chicago to play the Chicago Bears. Why did I make this the top game of interest? The Oakland Raiders are sitting at 2-1, people. Chicago Bears coming off an embarrassing 26-0 beatdown at the hands of the Seattle Seahawks. They got shut out. Most likely, Chicago will not have Jay Cutler at the helm again, which means another cloth in time. And I don't know if you saw the stats. I don't know how closely you guys follow the league. But last week against Seattle, Chicago had 10 possessions on offense, and they punted all 10 times. Let me repeat that in case you didn't hear me. They had 10 possessions, and they punted all 10 times. That's ugly. That's fugly. That's...
It was bad. It had nothing. No fire, no energy, no nothing.
No nothing. Here come the Oakland Raiders. Got a couple nice wins under their belt. And I want to see, and I'm interested in seeing, if the Oakland Raiders are going to catapult into the discussion of, hey, we are relevant again, or if they go into Chicago and get beat by the Chicago Bears. Now, I've got the Oakland Raiders. I think this is a new Oakland Raiders team. I think Jack Del Rio, a guy who he and I, we have not seen eye to eye ever, but he has got this team playing one more discipline. When's the last time an Oakland Raiders football team was disciplined? Two, he's got this team believing in his system. They are doing and going and playing hard for him every week because they bought in to a system. And three, they're not the most penalized team in the league anymore, folks. They're playing really good football. They're playing discipline. They're not making mistakes. They're not turning the ball over. And they're not having huge amounts of penalties. That's good football. And I think they go into Chicago, and Chicago is a team that's going to be undermanned, and they will lose. The Chicago Bears will lose again. They will be scratching their head. They just had a fire sale, for crying out loud. They're going to be filling in a whole bunch of holes of guys that just left, just vacated. I think the Bears lose. The Bears are actually dogs. They're home dogs, plus three at home. That's not good. That's not good at all when you're a home dog. Especially to the Oakland Raiders. But you know what? I think I like the Oakland Raiders to win this and to cover that 3 points. Sugar Lips does not. He thinks Chicago will get a win there at home. I don't see that happening at all. So that is the fourth game that you can possibly make a challenge game. All right, I'm going to finish up the rest of games of interest. Jacksonville at Indianapolis. The Indianapolis Colts, of course, got a really ugly win last week over the Tennessee Titans. It was pretty bad. They're 9-point favorites. I don't think they can beat the Jacksonville Jaguars by 9 points, but I do think they can win the game. Both Andrew and myself have the Colts winning with no problem. Jacksonville, you know, that win over Miami got a lot of people excited, but they're just not ready for primetime. It's coming. Jacksonville fans, listen to me. Listen to me now. Believe me later. It is coming. That time for you to be excited for your Jags, it's coming. It's just not right now. We both have the Colts. The Philadelphia Eagles travel to Washington to place the Washington Redskins. As I said earlier in the show, this game might be postponed and played later in Week 8. It all depends on the hurricane. But for now, both Andrew and myself like the Philadelphia Eagles. Washington is just not that good. Once again, like the Bears, there are 3-point favorites at home. So, you know, usually I say, you know, don't trust the home dog. Watch out. I can't watch out for the Skins. And maybe if they can get after Sam Bradford, rattle him up a little bit, make him make mistakes, and they get their ground game going again. But it wasn't going against the Giants, and I don't know if they can just turn it on and off like that. So we both like Philadelphia. The Green Bay Packers travel to San Francisco to face the San Francisco 49ers, and it's basically do or die for San Francisco and Colin Kaepernick. Both Andrew and I have the Green Bay Packers. We see them winning with no problems at all. But San Francisco, it's time, and the only reason why it's a game of interest, is time to see if the San Francisco 49ers are going to put up or shut up. That's what time it is right now for San Francisco. It's put up or shut up time. It's time to go to Tom Zula and say, hey, coach, you have got to do something.
Tamazula, Trambilla, Tamazula, Trambilla. What the hell's a Trambilla?
That coach over there. Now, Coach Tom Zula, he said that today to the media, he's like, what do you want me to say, that I'm not frustrated? Yeah, I'd be lying to you if I wasn't. But, Coach, you can be frustrated, but you've got to do something. You've got – against Arizona, there was no change at all. They just kept trying to do the same thing that wasn't working, and you try that against the Green Bay Packers, you're going to find yourself at the wrong end of a 50-10 blowout just like the week before. So, be an interesting game to see. We both have the Packers. St. Louis at Arizona. Both Sugar Lips Jones and I have the Arizona Cardinals. Man, St. Louis just, you know, they maybe it's just, you know, they like to get up for a game against the Seattle Seahawks because they always play Seattle great. But then they don't play great against everybody else. I mean, they looked flat week two against Washington. Last week against Pittsburgh, they played hard, but offensively they did nothing. Literally nothing. They're not going to do anything against Arizona. Are you kidding me? That Arizona Cardinal defense playing the way they're playing right now, picking off people left and right. They are the fifth best defense in the league. I mean, that's just – that's – plus, not to mention the last three head-to-head games, Arizona's dominated these guys. Last year in December, they won 30-10, and in November, they won 31-14. I expect nothing less. Arizona is favored by a touchdown. I'm taking the Cards because I think they're going to win by 10 or more. St. Louis just will not have a shot in this game. Final game of interest, the Dallas Cowboys at the New Orleans Saints in a battle of backups. Well, not sure. I'm actually hearing today that Drew Brees was back at practice and that he may play in this game. Right now, this game is off the board, both as spread and the over-under. And I think that's because nobody knows whether Drew Brees is going to play or not. Brees is a game-time decision, which is not very good. But regardless of whether it's Brees or not, I think the Dallas Cowboys learned a lot about themselves last week without Tony Romo and Dez Bryant. They learned, one, we can run the football and we can be effective at it, and two, we just need to be able to have something to fall back on when teams start doing different things on defense to stop our run. And if they learned from the tape last week how to combat that, then New Orleans, look, New Orleans is a bad team. They're losing to bad teams. They themselves are. When you start losing to bad teams, you yourself are a bad team. There you go. That's what I mean to say. And this is not the New Orleans Saints that won the Super Bowl a few years ago. They are far removed from being that. It wasn't even a few years ago. It was like 7 years ago. That's a long time. Still, that team that was competitive and made a lot of playoff appearances, that is not this team at all. They look different. That's why they go out and they make trades to try to bring someone to help their offense. But as I said, it doesn't matter if it's Brees or if it's McCown, the Verizon backup wireless guy. those commercials are funny. The Dallas Cowboys should win this game. Sugar Lips Jones agrees. He's got Dallas as well beating New Orleans because New Orleans just isn't beating anybody right now. Finally, three nap games for you, folks. Well, that's right, nap game. Okay, Carolina visits Tampa Bay. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 3-point dogs at home. I actually like Carolina to win big. Tampa Bay is going to keep you in a lot of football games. They are. They're going to be in a lot of football games. They're not going to win very many of them. And I think Carolina will take care of business and handle Tampa Bay. We like Carolina. Sugar Lips has Carolina as well. Cleveland travels across the country, comes out to San Diego to face the San Diego Superchargers. And the San Diego Chargers are at home. They haven't been home since week one. They're very happy. I think San Diego rebounds and gets a win here. Sugar Lips agrees. We both have the Chargers taking care of Cleveland because you know what? Cleveland is sticking with McCown. And at some point, Cleveland, hear me now. You have got to see what you have in Johnny Manziel as a quarterback. You're going to have to put him under center, and you're going to have to let him play so you can find out what you got. You either got someone who's going to help you win football games, or you got someone who is not your quarterback, and you need to find out now before the draft next year. That's where you are. I don't think McCown's the guy. He showed last week he's not the guy. I would play Johnny Manziel to find out what I got. Either way, we like San Diego in this game. The final game, nap game. Detroit heads up to the Pacific Northwest to play the Seattle Seahawks. Both Andrew and myself have Seattle. Detroit's not going into the hostile Pacific Northwest and beating up on Seattle. Just not going to happen. Seattle's favored by 10. I don't know if they win by that many, but Detroit's not going to win this football game, so we both have Seattle. Folks, please, I'd like for you to email me. There are four games: Jets, Miami, Giants, Buffalo, Minnesota, Denver, Oakland, Chicago. Those are the four games. In the first three, I've got the home teams. Andrew has the road teams. So he's got Jets, Giants, Minnesota. I've got Miami, Buffalo, Denver. And then Oakland versus Chicago. I've got the road team, Oakland. He's got home, Chicago. Shoot me an email. I will take all the emails and I will make the consensus, the challenge game. I will post that on Saturday. Thank you very much for listening. NFL Rants and Raves continues to go on. I'm really working out to try and get a recap show done on Monday Night Football. I think we're setting up in the Rave Cave a TV so that I can start the recap show while I watch Monday Night Football and then recap Monday Night Football at the very end of the show. So that's coming, maybe not next week, but the week after that. And that's all the time we've got. So remember, email me, Jets Miami, Giants Buffalo, Bears Raiders, or Minnesota and Denver. Make one of those the challenge game. You, as the fans, get to select for the challenge. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Steven Miranda, and you've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm out.